Good morning. It is good to be here before you this morning. I appreciate this opportunity. Our scripture reading this morning will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me. You know, the situation we're in right now with the virus and the safer at home orders and not being able to come together, it's really kind of brought to light things maybe that we take for granted. We were talking about it last week after the sermon here at the building. Maybe we've kind of taken for granted that just every Sunday we get to gather together on Sunday mornings and be with each other to fellowship and to worship and praise God. And it got to me to thinking about other things that maybe we take for granted, and there's plenty of them. We're all guilty of it. How about the grocery store? Do you take for granted, or have you in the past taken for granted, that when you go to the grocery store, there'll be all the essential items that you need on the shelves? Maybe no more. Do you take for granted, or have you in the past taken for granted, that when you go, you won't have to wait for somebody to come out, that you can go in and shop? How about your favorite restaurant? Have we taken for granted that we can just go to our favorite restaurant at any time to have a meal with friends and family? And certainly, to some degree or another, maybe possibly we've taken for granted our opportunity to assemble together on Sunday mornings, that we're just, you know, we're going to see each other every Sunday and be able to fellowship together and worship God. Taking things for granted, sometimes it's because we're not intentional about our thoughts, our actions, our words. And so another way to say it is we're accidental about what we do, the things we do, the things we think about. And by accidental, I don't mean that things happen to us by accident or things happen by accident, but if we're not intentional about things, sometimes things work out and sometimes they don't. And it's almost by accident that it goes either way if we're not thinking on those things. We all should have goals, right? We should have objectives that they're working towards. And if we are intentional about those, even though there may be setbacks, we're going to progress towards those and move towards those each and every day. Whereas if we're accidental, it's so easy to fall off the mark. Some days we may be moving towards the goals, some days we may not. So we want to try to always be intentional in our actions, in everything we do, and be progressing towards the goals that we have. Some examples of behavior, these are just a few that I thought of accidental behavior versus intentional behavior. If you look at the life of Moses and Joshua, their lives as leaders of the children of Israel were very intentional, very focused on what their task at hand. Joshua, in speaking to the people of Israel about what they were going to do, if they were going to be intentional or not in serving the Lord, he says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." How about the children of Israel? I would say you could classify their behavior as accidental, from the time they left Egypt through the time of the conquest of the Holy Land, the land promised to them. I believe Jeff Harris, in one of the last lessons that he gave in his class, talked about the children of Israel and this cycle that they went through in obeying and worshiping God, and then falling into disobedience and worshiping idols and following the people that were also in the land, and then back to worshiping God and obeying God. And this cycle is a good example of accidental behavior. It just sort of the circumstances around them dictated what they were doing and who they were following. Also, David, I think certainly parts of David's life, you could say he lived accidentally, but others, he lived intentionally. He was a man after God's own heart. And the apostles, I think at different points in their lives, you could say both ways. They, at times they lived their life accidentally in their time with Jesus. James and John come to mind when they were ready to rain fire down on a Samaritan village because they had rejected Jesus. But certainly in the latter part of their lives, they were very intentional in preaching the gospel and spreading it throughout the word, throughout the world. So back to our scripture reading. So Paul, in this passage, he's writing to the church at Corinth. This is the latter part of the letter. He has spent these first 14 chapters dealing with issues of the church not being intentional. They were living their lives in an accidental fashion. The things that just happened around them are what carried them and directed their thoughts, their actions, their words. And so Paul spends those first 14 chapters, the large part of it, addressing those things and correcting those things. And then he comes to chapter 15 towards the end of the letter, and verse 1, I don't have it up here on the screen, but verse 1, he opens with, "Now I remind you," I would remind you. He's reminding them of those things that are important, the things they need to be intentional about. And those things are of first importance. Verse 3, he says, "These are the things of first importance, that Christ died for us, for our sins, in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day," again, in accordance with the Scriptures. And so Paul is addressing these issues of accidental behavior with the church at Corinth, and we can all learn a lesson from this as well. So I would like to take a moment to share some more information, go in a little more detail about these matters of first importance. If they were matters of first importance for the church at Corinth, they should be matters of first importance for us. So first, these matters that Paul spoke about in chapter 15, they were prophesied. In the Old Testament, we have examples, and these are not certainly an all-inclusive list, but just a few examples. Isaiah chapter 53, we read, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we were healed." David wrote in Psalm 16, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption." Peter included part of Psalm 16 in his first sermon at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Also, Isaiah, back to Isaiah chapter 25, "He will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people will be, he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." Also, in the New Testament, as Paul is recounting his conversion and preaching to King Agrippa, he mentions that all these things that he's telling King Agrippa are what was told by the prophets and by Moses. Acts chapter 26, verses 22 and 23. "But God has helped me to this very day, so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer as the first to rise from the dead. He would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Jesus also foretold what was going to happen during his ministry here on earth. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, he's speaking to Martha. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Mark chapter 8, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. This is after Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." And again, Jesus mentions these things after he cleanses the temple in John chapter 2. The Jews ask for a sign. What authority does he have to do these things? And he says to them, after they ask, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple in 3 days, and I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, and his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. So the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, go into detail, a great deal of detail about these things, these matters of first importance that we need to be intentional about. And for time's sake, we're not going to read from these passages, but they would be a great starting place as you're focusing on and you're intentional about these matters of first importance. So why does it matter? Paul says they're matters of first importance. Let's talk for a little bit, if we can, for why does it matter? And I have just a handful of points I'd like to make. First, it matters. These are matters of first importance because he is our Lord. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. "And was declared," speaking of Jesus, "and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations." And again in Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." He is our Lord, and salvation is only through him. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." These things matter because of what he offers us through these things, these matters of first importance. First, Romans chapter 8, he offers us life through the Spirit. "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you." He also offers us access to God through Jesus. Jesus said to him, John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He also offers us a rescue. Okay, he rescues us from darkness. Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14. "For he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." These things matter because Jesus cleanses us. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Jesus, speaking of Jesus, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So he takes away our trespasses through his death, and he justifies us through his raising. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And such were some of you, speaking to the Corinthians before their conversion. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. And we are dead to sin and alive to God. Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 11. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. These matters of first importance are important. They're the reasons we need to be intentional, because he gives us hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Further down in verse 21, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And also in Titus chapter 3, verse 7, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We need to be intentional about these matters of first importance, because he gives us work to do. I don't know about you. Have you ever wondered, you know, when we believe the gospel and we repent and we confess and we're baptized, washing away our sins, why can't we just be taken up then? We've believed in him, right? Why can't we just go to heaven at that point? But there's a reason. He has work for us here on earth at that point in his kingdom. And I'll touch on just a few of those things here. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. He gives us the work to do so that people can see Jesus in us. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We are his ambassadors. When you think of an ambassador today, you think of a government official, the ambassador to the United Kingdom. Okay? He lives there. He lives in a foreign land. Okay? He represents us, our government, when he's there. And we do the same for Christ. We live here on earth to be ambassadors for his kingdom. 1 John chapter 3, we're to love one another. And that's not a feeling, that's an action. 1 John chapter 3, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. So we know what love looks like by what Jesus has done for us. Skipping down to verse 18, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. It is our actions that shows our love. And further down, verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. And finally, God has equipped us to do this work. Okay, he's equipped us to do his will. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will. So he equips us to do his will on it, or his work here on earth. And eventually, He's going to judge us. He's going to judge the entire world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us that Christ will descend from heaven, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Also in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Also in Acts chapter 24, he tells us that he's going to judge both the just and the unjust. Verse 15, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. Peter speaks of judgment and those that don't obey in chapter 4, verse 17 of 1 Peter. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel? So at that time of judgment of eternal life, John chapter 6, verse 40 talks of it, the judgment in eternal life. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And on that day, he's going to change us. 1 Corinthians 15, which is where our scripture came from, further down in that chapter. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Paul also speaks about it to the Philippians, that God is going to transform us. Chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. John also spoke about it in 1 John chapter 3, that we will be like him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. These are the things of first importance, matters of first importance, as Paul wrote about in our scripture reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He also wrote about it in a similar fashion to the Philippian church, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. We need to always be intentional in the things that we do, the things that we say, the things that we think. But especially about those matters of first importance that Paul spoke about in 1 Corinthians 15. So hopefully this will have been a benefit to you. I appreciate your attention. That concludes our lesson. We certainly want to extend an invitation, even though we are not all together here. We want to be able to help you in any way that we can. We implore you to reach out to the elders if you have any needs at all. If we can help you in any way, please contact us. Thank you.